All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning here in Tennessee. I hope everybody's doing well. Today is our first day going back underground to audio only for church. We are doing this mainly because we are off YouTube now, as a lot of you know. And we're off the main social medias. The only thing we're on now is Band and Patreon. And so the people that cannot have Band on their phones, we went back to audio so they can just call in from their house. You know, a lot of our people that follow us are older people that know what's going on. You know, that's followed us for years. And, you know, and a lot of people are getting rid of their phones now. So, you know, they're going back to their home phones. So, this is the best way to continue. You remember last year whenever God told us, get out of the metaverse. We began doing this and then we went, you know, back on YouTube. Which was nice to reach a broader audience. But now since Gemini AI took over, it's much better for us to go back to audio only. So we will be doing this every week. Now, next week, I want to encourage you guys. We're doing Fellowship Sunday. We're going to begin to do a lot of variety of things to bring the church closer together. Okay, because we really are a church. We are. This is just like a church. I mean, you call us for counseling. We pray over you, yada, yada, you know. But next Sunday, we would like for you guys to prepare a 5 to 10 minute way to really introduce yourself to everybody that may not know you. To say, hey, you know, I have a husband and 5 kids and 10 grandkids, and we live in Georgia, and I work at Chick-fil-A, you know, just telling about yourself to let people know when they see your name in the chat rooms and stuff, you know, they'll say, oh, hey, I remember you. You really love dogs, you know, like Darcy, and you're really involved in the grandkids like Carla, you know. And stuff like this, so y'all can get to know one another. So next Sunday, we're calling Fellowship Sunday. We would like for you guys, you know, to prepare a 5 to 10 minute thing about yourself and maybe some areas that you need to overcome, you know, like me, you know, with my body, this is such a mountain for me to climb. I need the agreement of the church, you know, to help me to overcome myself. You know what I'm saying? So whenever you, the Bible says that we confess our faults one to another, right? And we are the church. So this is what the church is for. Is for us to, you know, come together in agreement to overcome our obstacles type of deal. So prepare that next week and y'all can get to know each other a little bit better. And then we still invite you, this is one last cry for you guys, to come here to the farm for homecoming. The first week of August, August the 2nd through the 9th, anytime through that week, we would like for you guys to just come in, even if it's 1 day, 2 days, come in, spend time with us, you know, let's lock arms together, let's pray, you know, where we can lay hands on you and baptize you if you need to be baptized, you know, now we have a swimming pool we can baptize people in, you know. But come here so we can get to know you better. And that's our goal, you know, from this point forward is to be the church, you know, get to know one another in a greater way. And on a personal note, I do want to thank you guys for coming in agreement with me about my niece. It's still a battle. And after we did our emergency prayer call yesterday, I was so happy to have a bunch of you guys call in at the last minute whenever there's an emergency. That was amazing. But come to find out, you know, I'm not the only one. Not that I thought I was, but I'm not the only one that's dealing with demons out here. You know, there's a bunch of you. So, Miss D brought it up, I can't remember, a week or two ago. We need to get into some spiritual warfare teaching. So, I am planning on starting that. We're going to be getting into the Word of God, because we're gonna see these things rise to the surface with all of the things that are happening out here, and we're gonna have to be able to deal with this, you know. Okay, I had a revelation about Dennis this morning. You know, this morning I shared pictures on our band, which is our church fellowship. So if any of you guys listening to this, because this will be posted on the website, all of our church services, Bible studies, all that stuff will be posted on the website, not the news. Okay, so if people are listening to this from all over the world and you would like to be a part of our church, we do have a band. We will post it up on the website for you to come in for the church, if you would like to be a part of that. But anyway, this morning I was sharing on band pictures of Dennis with the animals, because we have chickens. We have about 30 chickens and we have 4 goats. We have a mother, father, and 2 kid goats. And every morning they're crying. I mean, they sound like a bunch of babies back there until Dennis goes back there. We call it the back 40, you know, when he goes back there and feeds the animals. And so I was documenting it this morning, you know, taking pictures and filming him to kind of show you guys. It is funny because he's in his pajamas, but to show you guys, you know, how that is here on the farm. And hold on just a second. Somebody's messaging me. Okay, Miss D. Okay. One lady can't sign in. She don't have signal. I'm sad for her. But when I was sitting there writing my list down of like what I wanted to do for church today, I had a revelation about Dennis. Now, here's Dennis up there feeding the natural animals, feeding the goats, feeding the chickens, and now he's going to be feeding us the lamb's kids. I was like, wow, what a revelation that is, feeding the goats in the natural and then feeding the lamb's kids in the spirit. You know, so I just want to say thank you, Pastor. He's so diligent, Bride. I really honor him today as our pastor, and I can testify before you what a good man he is. And like when he seeks the Lord for his manna from heaven, it's really a dream come true as a pastor's wife, you know, to see somebody that you know is, that you can respect. I mean, that's a big deal for a woman. I don't know if any of you women ever been with a man you can't respect. But it makes a big difference when you can respect him. But anyways, maybe that's funny in my own head. But I do respect him for how he gets the word from the Lord and how he brings it to us. So he is feeding the lamb's kids. And that's really amazing. Okay, so let's see. All right, so I've given you all my notes about everything happening in the ministry. I do want to share a testimony. You know, God has given me everything I need to prepare for my next mission, which I've already told you guys about. It is persecution. So my job from him is to get this weight off. It's a top priority, like urgent in the spirit. Okay. So God's given me everything I need. And I just want to call the list off to you and share with you how serious God is that I get this body under, you know, ready for the suffering. He gave me a free swimming pool, a free deck to dance on and to exercise on. He gave me a world renowned, I call her world renowned because she has danced all over the world. Y'all know Miss Deborah. And she is my aquatics coach. So she is guiding me like this morning. I've been telling her how I've been jogging back and forth in the pool. And she told me take the ball that me and Dennis play, you know, bouncing the ball back and forth, which is good exercise for me too, you know, jumping up and down. But she said to take that ball and put it in front of me when I run. It gives me more resistance. See, that's the kind of coach I need, you know. So she helps me in the aquatic side of exercising because that's what she does is she's an aquatics coach for exercising. And then our neighbors gave us a bicycle. The wife couldn't ride it anymore. Gave it to us. Dennis is going to put air in the front of it. Now I have a bicycle I can ride. I started walking this week. You know, I'm getting my strength up now. I started walking uphill this week. And then the Lord blessed me this week with a woman that is a world-renowned fitness coach. She has a master's degree in fitness, and she just got her PhD in public health. And so her whole mission that God has given her is to help women that are, I don't want to say elder, but older women, menopausal, to lose weight. And, you know, so the thing that's so wonderful, and he told her to do this a week ago, and it took her a week to obey him, but she said when she saw me do that video on band where I was explaining my journey to you guys, that God said, see, I told you. And then she contacted me and said, the Lord told me to give you my services for free. So now God has given me a professional, I mean, top notch. She's in California, a top notch professional that now monitors my food intake. She wants to know everything about me, my food intake, my supplements, how I'm exercising. And she knows my body. I told her all about my body. And then, so she does all that. But her greatest strength is spiritually. This is what just makes me want to cry because it's so beautiful what God has done. Because I have battled this since my abusive husband. You know, this weight. When I was growing up, I was an athlete, never overweight. Anyway, so she is a prophetic coach where she monitors your spirit. Like she said, a lot of trauma is stored in the human body, and sometimes when people get to a certain level, memories will come forth, because she said that those memories are stored in different places, and she'll pray with them and they'll get the victory and go past that. And I'm like, see how good you are, God, because this is a healing. I've still got a lot of healing. Here's me, you know. God's got a lot of healing continuous that he wants to do more. And basically, I'm going through deliverance is the way I see it. I'm going through more deliverance with this woman. So I'm very happy about it. I give glory to God Now I have a team of people. Dennis is my nutrition coach. You know, he's monitoring my intake. And so now I have a team. I have a nutritionist. I have a coach, a fitness coach, and counselor. She's basically my counselor. And then my aquatics coach. So we are now a team, and we're going to meet once a month, the first Saturday of the month, and we're going to discuss my progress. So I just wanted y'all to know I would love for you to pray for me and to help me to overcome this mountain, a huge mountain. Another praise I can say is that my body is perfect, praise God. And I know it's only the gift of God that has held me together through all this weight. But I feel like he's given me one last chance, you know, to overcome myself. Because I am a dancer. And I am a lyrical, prophetic dancer. Remember, God had me dance in front of the U.S. Capitol on New Year's Eve in 2019. And that was warfare. See, dancing is warfare when you do it prophetically. And I was out there warfaring in the spirit in front of the U.S. Capitol. That's when I was the captain of the U.S. Capitol. So I see God sending me places to warfare in the spirit and dance, you know. So there's a lot that is going to come out of this, but I've got to overcome my own flesh. And so I appreciate you guys being with me in this journey, praying with me and loving me, you know, through my ups and downs and the many changes that we've had in this ministry. But I've always kept my purpose, haven't I? No matter what, I've always stay course with the main thing, which was preparing you guys for what's coming and keeping the church going and stuff like that. All right, so very good. So I prayed and asked the Lord, you know, what songs you want us to sing. So I have a few. So let's go ahead and pray. I'm going to open it up to Pastor and ask him to lead us off in prayer. Good morning, Pastor. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. You have good audio.
All righty. That's good.
Yes.
Hopefully we don't have to fight like we did last week.
I know, man. That
you fight audio. Technology.
Yeah. Right.
But, yep. All right. But let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time we can come together, Lord, as the body of Christ, Lord, and to seek truth, Lord, that sets us free from all the ways of this world, Lord. And we just thank you for your word, Lord, that it will lead us and guide us, because your word is spirit, and that's going to be part of our message too today. And the Lord, we just ask that you would bless this time and bless our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying,
yes,
for such,
Lord,
a time as this.
Yes.
And so we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you're doing in our lives, Lord. And I also just bless that you bless each person here, Lord, that they would be set free today from anything that would be coming against them, Lord,
yes,
to further their walk with you, to be more intimate with you, Lord.
Yes,
and
Lord.
So we just thank you for your loving kindness, Lord, to each one of us. And we ask that you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, Pastor. Thank you. Okay, so the first song we're going to sing now, a lot of you may remember this song. This is like an old Assembly of God song. This is where I learned it anyway. I have given you authority. You know, like I was saying about those demons in my niece. That we're taking authority over. He has given us authority. Amen. So it goes like this. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Oh, to overcome. Oh, nothing will harm you, nothing, nothing will harm you. That's all it is. Let's sing it again. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. To overcome, oh, nothing will harm you, nothing, nothing will harm you, nothing will harm you. Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor, you're going to have to mute your phone because I can't do it, okay? All right, let's go to the next one.
I don't.
Yeah. Okay, let me try. All right, testing, testing. Oh, it did work on my end. Okay, thank you, sir. All right, the next one is leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Okay, I'm going to read the last verse. And Pastor, I can still hear you for some reason. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Do you believe that, Brad? Come on now. Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Come on now. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. I've got one last song to sing, but I really only know the chorus. But I've got the tune in my head. It's Give Me Jesus. You know, we was talking about this the other day about, you know, they can have this old world. You know, they can have everything in this world. We don't want it. You know, we want Jesus. And we're going to pay that price for that too, you know. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Ain't that the truth? You can have this stinking world. We want Jesus, baby. All right, Pastor, you got the floor, sir.
Okay, thank you for singing and for your kind words and all that you do.
You're welcome.
Very awesome. Okay, what I want to do first is I want to read a devotion here from my book, Spartan Gems from the Greek. And this devotion, it's not really my message, but I've seen something in this that I've never seen before. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. So that's why I want to read it to you all. And maybe you guys never seen it. And then when I was reading this, a word come to me when I was sitting here pondering it. And so that word a very simple little word is what I took, which then I'm going to talk about, okay? And so if you go to Mark 16, verse 17, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And again, I'm reading this from July 9th, and it's called They Shall Speak with New Tongues. And we're not going to get into all that because, like he even says here, there's books written on it. And I looked that up in my Bible dictionary, and there's so much about tongues and all that. But we're not getting into that, but I just want to read this. Regardless of the denomination to which you belong or what you have been taught to believe, it is irrefutable fact that Jesus said believers would speak with new tongues. In fact, Jesus affirming that speaking in new tongues would be one of the supernatural signs that would follow believers. The first example of speaking in tongues is found in Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven and a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Of all the instances where people spoke in tongues in the book of Acts, this is the most famous example, perhaps because it was the first time this phenomenon ever occurred and thus set the pattern for believers to be filled with the Spirit and to speak in tongues. But this instance is very unique from the other instances recorded in the books of Acts, for several miracles occurred that day when believers spoke in tongues for the first time. There's so much we could write about speaking in tongues. After all, the entire books have been written and devoted to this wonderful subject. But today, let's look at the specific events that occurred the first time people ever spoke in tongues. On the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verses 5 and 6 tell us, a multitude was gathered in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. This word multitude is in the Greek word plethios, which is used no less than 25 times in the Gospels to denote a massive, huge crowd of people. This is very important, for it tells us that far more foreigners were in the crowd than were believers who had been filled with the Spirit. Acts 2 verses 9 through 11 tells us that the crowd at the day were, at that day were, and then it tells all these names from all these different nations, and I'm not going to read them because I can't pronounce them, but there's a whole list of them. So there was lots of people there from all nations and tongues and tribes, you might say. Also from, there were strangers from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Okay, the believers who had just been filled with the Spirit were speaking in tongues so loudly as they excited the upper room and entered the streets that the entire crowd could hear them speaking. The crowd was amazed at what they were hearing. Acts 2:6 says they were confounded because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. The word confounded in the Greek word stuntio, which means to perplex, to stun, to bewilder, to baffle, to stupefy, to amaze, to confound, or to cause an astonishment that literally throws people into a state of confusion. Wow. The word heard is the Greek word akaio, which simply means to hear. The word speak in the word laiuton, which means to speak, but the Greek tense presents the picture of people continuously speaking in tongues. In fact, this Greek word for speak is the same word used to describe someone who speaks fluently in his own or some other language. It clearly shows us that believers were speaking nonstop in tongues as they entered the street that day. But notice the end of Acts 2:6, where it says that every man heard them speak in his own language. The word language is the Greek word dialektos, which is where we get the word dialect. This means the believers were not heard speaking only in different languages, but with all the specific dialects, idioms, phrases, you know, and regional accents that were used in each geographical location from which the listener came. So, you know, they were from all over. Consider this. There were only 120 believers speaking in tongues, and this was a massive crowd of people. Okay. Well, I wanted to, where does it say there was 120 people? So you have to go back to Acts 1:15, and it doesn't say 120. It says about 120. So I just want to verify that. So this means that this small group of about 120 believers must have been speaking in hundreds of different dialects. To know a language is one thing, but to know the different dialects of another language requires years of study and the highest skill. Take note. This would be amazing for a group of highly educated language specialists, but for a group of Galileans to speak so fluently in so many different dialects was simply unheard of. Thus, the reason the listening crowd was so baffled and stunned. Wow. Acts 2:7 lets us know that the majority of the believers who came out of the upper room speaking in tongues that day were Galileans, giving further cause for the international crowd to be so confounded. Galileans were simple people, not known for their education or wealth. Their labor, work, profession, the way of life were all primarily connected to the region of Galilee. So they had no reason to know many foreign languages. This is why the people reacted the way they did in Acts 2:7. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" In Acts 2:7, the word amazed is the Greek word ekstatema, which means to be beside oneself or to be out of one's head. It is the picture of one who is so stunned and amazed that he stands speechless, nearly paralyzed with shock. The word marvel in the Greek word, which means to wonder or to stand in awe of. In our day, we might define it as one who is bowed over by something he has heard, witnessed, or seen. There is no doubt that the crowd that day was perplexed as they listened to these Galileans speaking in so many different languages and specific dialects. But were the disciples supernaturally speaking in known languages that day? Some have tried to categorize, state that those who came out from the upper room that day supernaturally spoke in known human languages. But Paul specifically wrote that speaking in tongues is not speaking in known language. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, Paul said, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him." The word unknown is italicized in the King James Version because it doesn't appear in the Greek text. It was supplied by the translators to affirm that Paul was not referring to known human languages. He was writing about the supernatural prayer language that is known only to God. And this is kind of what I wanted to point out, you know, like he's saying here, you know, they were speaking, you know, in Acts where they couldn't, or where they could understand them in all these different languages. But in 1 Corinthians here, 14, you know, they were speaking in unknown language, and it says that no man could understand them. So they're kind of, you know, how do I want to say it? Well, the scriptures contradict each other, kind of. Anyway, let's read on. According to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 14, 13 through 15, speaking in tongue is a spiritual language, never a known language. So it is supernatural and unknown to man that it cannot be understood, not even by the speaker himself, unless he prays for the ability to interpret what he is saying. And I want to stop there too, because, you know, I've been not to a lot of churches, but I've only been to one or two churches to where, say, during praise and worship or something, someone in the congregation started just giving a word in tongues over the whole congregation. And, you know, and everything gets quiet, and this person is giving a word, you know, and you can't understand it. And everybody's just listening. And then when he gets done, then all of a sudden someone else will interpret the dream or the word that he spoke. And I've only seen this a few times. Just an interesting note. Anyway, according to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians, speaking tongues is a spiritual language, never a known language. Okay, I read that. However, on the day of Pentecost, a special miracle occurred. The believers spoke in tongues, but by the time the supernatural language reached the ears of the listeners, they heard a message in their own distinct dialects. This is why Acts 2 says that every man heard them speak in his own language. Acts 2:8 says, "And how hear we every man in his own tongue, wherein we were born?" Acts 2:11 tells us that listeners said, "How do we hear them speak in our tongues that wonderful works of God?" On the day of Pentecost, the first great work of God was to fill the believers with the Holy Spirit. The second great work was to liberate the human spirits so they could pray in tongues and worship God in the Spirit. The third great work occurred when the believer spoke in other tongues and supernaturally translated those tongues in the ears of listeners so that each member of the audience heard them speaking in his own language. And that's why, you know, when I read this and I'm thinking, wow, what would be the title of my message? You know, here the title was "They Shall Speak in New Tongues," but to me the title should be "Three Great Works of the Holy Spirit." And that's my gist of this all, you know, wow, the three great works, you know, that I just read here. It is amazing what happens when God's people open up to let him work through them. When the believers in the book of Acts were filled with the Spirit and began to regularly speak in tongues, a door to supernatural power was opened. The power unleashed through speaking in tongues was evident throughout the books of Acts and is still in operation today. And the word that I'm going to tell you when I get done with this should be our desire to regularly speak in tongues, you know, and have that supernatural power opened up to us. There are several instances in the book of Acts where believers prayed and worshiped God in tongues. This was the norm, not the exception. A common practice that was expected to occur in the life of any person who is filled with the Spirit. And just as the early believers freely and fluently prayed in the Spirit, God has enabled us to do the same if we but open our heart, open our mouths, and let the Spirit speak to God. Let our spirits speak to God. Now I want to stop there and read that last sentence over again, because this is where I got this word. It says, God has enabled us to do the same if, and remember, whenever we read if in the Bible, that is a powerful word. To me, it means like, uh-oh, take notice, almost like behold, if we but open our heart and open our mouths. But I should say, if we have a desire to, you know, open our mouths and let the Spirit speak to God, let our spirits, you know, we need that desire. And that's the word I want to talk about today, desire. I want to give some scriptures about it. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for filling each of us with the Spirit and for giving us the ability to pray and to praise you in a supernatural language. Our spirits long to pray, to express itself, and to worship you, Lord. Our own mind and intellect is so limited that we don't always know what to say or how to express ourselves. But when we pray and praise in the Spirit, we are very aware that we are praying perfectly and praising you on the highest level. So each of us thank you for this wonderful ability, and we want to pray in the Spirit and to worship you with all of our inner man. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I want to touch on is that word desire, okay? You know, the Bible offers guidance on what to desire and what to avoid desiring. It emphasizes desiring God and spiritual things while cautioning against desires of the flesh and worldly possessions. Okay, Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You know, this you know, speaks of, you know, diligently or of delighting in the Lord and receiving the desire of one's heart. Okay, but let's read this here. From verse 1, okay, we're in Psalm 37, verse 1, and it's interesting because this psalm, it's like the true state of the wicked is the title in my Bible of this psalm. Okay, verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as thy noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evil doers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while the wicked shall be not. Yea, they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon them with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. And I'm going to stop there. This speaks of delighting in the Lord and receiving the desire of one's heart, okay? What does it say? It says we must trust in the Lord, verse 3. It says we must commit our way unto the Lord, verse 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, verse 4. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. Fret not, verse 7. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, verse 8. So I'm thinking, for the Lord to give us the desires of our heart, then we must trust in the Lord. We have to commit our way unto the Lord. We have to delight ourselves in the Lord. We have to rest in the Lord. We need to wait patiently. And boy, I need patience. Just ask June. I'm working on that. And fret not. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Again, it says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So, we have to consider, ponder, and think about the context of this. If we want the desires for the Lord to give us the desires of our heart. Amen. First John 2:16 warns against the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Ultimately, aligning desires with God's will is presented as the path to fulfillment and a life pleasing to him. Let's turn to 1 John quick here. 1 John. All my bookmarkers are falling out as I'm turning my pages. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, is of the world, and the world passed away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Our desires should be what? To do the will of the Lord. You know? You know, it's again, once again, it's presented as the path to fulfillment and a life pleasing to the Lord. Amen. You know, the Bible encourages a deep loving for God and for His presence. Psalm 42:1 compares this longing to a deer panting for the water, highlighting its intensity. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 42. You know, this intense longing for God, or should we say this intense desire, let's just read, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Ooh, honor that a little bit. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remembered these things, I poured out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept that holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. For my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All the waves of thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. And I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So this psalm is, you know, is about his intense, you know, desire, you might say, you know, longing for the Lord. Let's turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. And here again, this here, Psalm 73 is in my Bible here, it's titled The Mystery of Prosperous Wickedness. Okay, and again, what do we see today out there? How so much, there's so much wickedness and deception and, you know, and it's just terrible. But yet these people just live with, you know, life of luxury and all their possessions and whatever, you know. It's just disgusting. Not that you can't have, you know, good possessions and all that, but hear the wickedness, you know, prosperous. And this psalm expresses a desire for God above all else, emphasizing that He is the strength of one's heart. Even though Psalm 73 is about the prosperous wicked, and Psalm 73:1, it says here, Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, or should we say stumbled. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, and as you read down, it you know, this is thank you. It's a psalm of Asaph, okay? And he's seeing this here, how, you know, if I'm not going to read it all, but it's just, you know, about the wicked, you know, and everything. And for instance, you know, Asaph confesses envy and carefree life of the wicked in this world in verses 1 through 12. Then he became bitter, feeling his own commitment to godliness was all in vain, verses 13 through 15, kind of just outlining this. Then while worshiping, he realized that the very prosperity of the wicked was slippery ground, for they felt no need for God and were vulnerable to judgment. Verses 16 through 20. You know, then what? Suddenly Asaph felt foolish and relieved. He had a God now and forever. You know, he was coming, wow, they don't have my God. You know, their God, how can I say it, is with a small g. Having God as his portion far outweighs a carefree life. Amen. It kind of reminds me of the life of the rich and famous. Okay. And so here again in this Psalm 73, verses 4 through 12, Asaph's initial look describes their material situation. But then in verses 4 through 5, but he goes on to describe describe or sketch its impact on their personality. That's verses 6 through 12. Those who have it all tend to be arrogant. They sense no need for God and no need to be considerate of others. Final, you know, what's the final destiny? Everything that happens to us on earth now must be evaluated in terms of its impact on our final destiny. And so let's just read, where is it here? Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. You know, he's seeing all this evil, you know, the foolishness of, you know, of everything. But here when he went into the sanctuary of God, when he got into the presence of the Lord and really, you know, pondering and thinking about it all, then he understood their end. He's like, whoa, you know. And a word come to me right now. It's called compassion. You know, we have to have compassion for people. You know, when we see their lifestyle and whatever, you know, it's like, you know, we have to have compassion. Amen. And then let's see here. let's go down to verse 22. And this, when I read this verse, I want to share some thoughts. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was as a beast before thee. So he's comparing himself to a beast, you know, an ignorant beast. But when I read this the first time, I read it and didn't really stop and think about it. And I read it like this. So foolish was I and ignorant of the beast before me. Okay. I want to read that again. So foolish was I and ignorant of the beast before me. You know, not so foolish was I and ignorant I was as a beast before thee, but I read it, you know, ignorant of the beast before me. And so why I'm pointing this out is because we have a beast before us today. And if you've followed this ministry, you'll know, I think, what I'm talking about. You know, the beast is trying to take over. You know, and I thought, and I'm going to read you what I wrote. I put, woe. The beast is ever before us now, today. Woe. Do we see it? That's a question we have to ask. Do we see the beast before us today? I'm just putting these thoughts out there because we need to be aware. You know, we need to behold and look and see, not be ignorant. Amen? You know, and then I want to read in verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. Praise the Lord. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, and I may declare all thy works. Woo. That's our testimony. When I read that verse, there it is. That I may declare all thy works. So, Lord, I just want to pray right now, Lord. Any of us here today, Lord, that are far from you, Lord, draw us closer, Lord, as we seek you, and that we have a desire for you, Lord, that we will draw near to you, Lord. I know your word says that those that draw near to you, you will draw them to you, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, that as we put our trust in you alone, Lord God, that we will be able to declare all thy works, all that you're doing in our lives, Lord, all that you provide for us. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, our testimony should be the goodness and the kindness and the gracious, how gracious God is to us. Amen. Hebrews 10, 20 through, excuse me, Hebrews 10, 22 through 23. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:1, you know, instructs believers to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. I don't think I was going to turn there, but let's see a minute. 1 Corinthians 14. First one, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. And here in my Bible, a footnote, when it says prophesy, it says preach infallibly. You know, and Lord, right now I pray that I can be preaching infallibly, Lord. So please bless the lips, my lips, Lord. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not to men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesied, you know, speaks God's message, speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. You know, we want to build each of you up today. We want to encourage you to really seek the Lord, you know, and have a desire, you know, for the Lord. Amen. You know, the Bible warns us against desires that lead to temptation, sin, and ultimately destruction. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. Now, again, the Bible warns us against desires that lead to temptation, sin, and ultimately destruction. 1 Timothy 6:9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation, and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wow. You know, it speaks to those who desire to be rich, you know, and harmful desires, you know. But it's interesting here in verse 9, it says that, you know, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. You know, snare, I think of a string that catches a wild animal, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. It's snaring you and it's pulling you in, and draws, and it will draw men into destruction and perdition. And then stop there and think about this. This is not good. That word perdition, you know, it's a state of eternal damnation. I looked this up in my Bible dictionary. Or destruction, particularly of the soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion. It will destroy. You know, examples of it are Judas Iscariot in John 17:12. Of the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, example, or should, excuse me, enemies of Christ, 1 Thessalonians 5:3 and 2 Thessalonians 1:9. That's a powerful word there. Woo. You know, let's turn to 1 John 2. You know, 1 John 2 categorizes desires of the flesh and not to love the world. Okay, let's turn to 1 John 2. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away, and the lust, excuse me, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. You know, that should be our desire, you know, our desire to do the will of God. Amen. You know, abide with him, you know, and when I was thinking about this, you know, sitting here and pondering, and I was thinking, wow, that's why you must be born again. You know, 1 Peter 1, verses 23 and 25, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. From referencing Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 7. But the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You know, this... First Peter here is about the new birth is incorruptible. Amen. You know, so, you know, we must read and ponder more the context of these scriptures. So let's go to First Peter. Let's see here. How do 1 Peter 1, start with verse 13. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves to the former lust of your ignorance. Let's stop there a minute. As obedient children. That word is very powerful. Obedient. Amen. You know, we're not to fashion ourselves according to the former lust of the flesh. You know, verse 15, it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, and verse 17, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You know, we're each going through, you know, our journey with the Lord, you know, in this temporal world. This can be done. For as, verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And we're in these last times. Amen. Verse 21. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. There it is. Again, obeying the truth. Purifying your souls in obeying the truth. You know, when we obey the truth, you know, when we repent, when we turn away from, you know, sin and, you know, all the things of this world, you know, we're being sanctified. We're purifying. We are obeying the truth, you know, with an earnest heart. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Verse 23. You know, and again, that word obedient. You know, if we're not obedient, you know, not only will have spiritual consequences, but even physical, because we are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. So you always have to remember things, you know, the spirit realm and the physical realm, they work together. If something, you know, affects your physical realm, you better look into the spiritual realm, because the two go hand in hand, you know. There's many sicknesses and diseases, you know, which are physical, happen because of physical, or excuse me, spiritual sin. You know, we and there's books on it. I've got one here from Pastor Henry Wright that talks about it. It's a powerful book. It's called A More Excellent Way. From 1 Corinthians 12, verses 31. It's the teaching on spiritual roots of disease. You know, when one sins or has unforgiveness or bitterness or whatever towards others, you know, that's spiritual, and it will affect us physically. I just want to bring that up. You know, and obedience. If we're not obedient to God's word, then we're sinning. And that sin is spiritual, and it can cause physical problems. And that's why so many of us, and actually I think everybody, you know, needs to study up on deliverance and how to, you know, to be, set ourselves free from the powers of darkness. Amen. But anyway, you know, this obedient means complying with the commands, rules, or request of an authority figure or system. Our authority figure and system. You know, who's our authority figure? It's the Lord God Almighty, amen, or Jesus. And the system is, you know, his word. It's kind of how I'm looking at it, you know. So obedience is complying with the Lord, you know, his rules, his word, amen. Let's go back up here. Because in verse 16, 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect to persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You know, I don't mean get down and, oh, shake your knees, you're in fear. It means in reverence of God, of his word, you know. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. You know, it's interesting. In chapter 2, in 1 Peter, let me think here. Let's read it. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. There it is again. You know, as newborn babes, we need to desire that sincere milk of the word. Amen. Let's continue reading. And to whom coming as unto the living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You know, I believe that's talking about the Lord Jesus. He also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And these spiritual sacrifices here in verse 5, you know, I believe it refers to the acts of worship and service that, you know, Christians offer to God, being obedient to living a life of holiness, not as physical offerings, you know, like they had in the Old Testament, but as expressions of our faith and devotion through our daily lives, offering prayers, praise, and showing love and kindness to others. You know, they are spiritual because they are motivated by the Holy Spirit and are pleasing to our Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, and again, I want to, you know, go back up here to, you know, I just want to express this. As newborn babes, you know, let's just look at each of ourselves that way. You know, we're desiring that sincere milk of the word. You know, that we can grow and we can taste and see that the Lord is so gracious. Amen. You know, and that reminds me of one of my favorite verses. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Wow. Amen. You know, we need to have that desire for the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us, you know. Because in that guidance, you know, we are set free from sin, sickness, disease, calamity, and all the fiery darts of the devil. Amen. So, Lord, I just want to pray right now, Lord, that you pour out your Spirit upon each one here today, Lord. Because where the word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Lord, I ask that you would set free each person here today, Lord, from sin, sickness, disease, and calamity, and all the fiery darts of the devil that's trying to come against them, Lord. Free them from bondage and fear of the times that we are coming into, Lord. As you pour out your Spirit, Lord, we just trust in you alone, Lord, to set us free. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. In thinking about this, and, you know, there's so much more about, you know, I could go about desires, but I was thinking about this, and it's like, you know, our desires, are they sort of related to or can be to dreams? You know, it's kind of just a question I'm putting out there for us to think about, you know. Do our desires and dreams, you know, our, you know, we have a dream and our desire, do they work together, you know? Man, I got this desire and my dream for, you know, a wife or a husband, you know, and you're sitting there, and you're, you know, daydreaming. Not that you're in bed and you have a dream, but just, you know, daydreaming. I know I have. You know, I've dreamt of having a wife that, and number one on the list, you know, a wife that loves the Lord more than anything in the world. You know, that should be our desire, our dream, our desire to have a husband, you know, for us women out there, to have a husband who's first and foremost is to, you know, Lord God is number one, and then your wife, and then your family and children. You know, we have these dreams and these desires, you know. But sometimes these dreams and these desires can be, you know, delusive. You know, it refers, you know, kind of like delusion, refers to the state of being misled or deceived. You know, we can't have these desires and these dreams to be misled or deceived, you know, often. You know, very clearly God's word says by false teaching, false prophet, you know, are our own desires. You know, we want to, you know, our desires should be for the will of God. You know, because the consequences of not having the desires of God, you know, could be, you know, as I talked about, you know, could be not so good. You know, examples are in Isaiah 29:7-8, you know, talks about the blindness of Israel. And I'm not going to go there, and we're not going to read that, but, you know, and when I was looking at that and reading that, it's like the blindness of Israel. You know, okay, that's Old Testament, but who's Israel today? My personal opinion is it's the church. I'm looking in the spiritual realm. You know, we are the church, the you know, Israel. And look at the blindness of the church today. You know, it's sad. And my last scripture for today is is Haggai. Let's turn back there. Here. Haggai, chapter 2, and it's, and Haggai is a very small book. You know, there's only 2 chapters, and they're not very long. But in Haggai chapter 2, you know, this is talking about the glory of the new temple, okay? And, you know, in the ancient Jewish and early Christian commentators, you know, they interpret this as a reference to the Messiah. You know, and there's so many other interpretations, somewhat, you know, taken to desire, you know, they can desire precious things, and then it could be the messianic age, you know, and stuff like that. But me, again, I want to look at this more in the spiritual realm of for us today, you know, the glory of the new temple. So I just want to read the first 9 verses here. In the 7th month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as it is as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. I want to stop right there. This just come, just when I seen this, I want to read this last part. And be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. It doesn't say slouch, lay around, be a, what I call a couch potato, and worry, be a worry wart. No, it says, and work. Be active. Be doing something. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, how many of you want, you know, just to be sitting around and mumbling and grumbling and whatever? Get out and do something. I have a brother that was like that. Always sat around grumbling, mumbling, he ain't got no friends no more, and blah, 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 you know, and he's so lonely, he lost all his friends, and I would always tell him, and my sister and my other brothers would always, get up and do something, you know, go down to the Salvation Army, or go down to, you know, the veterans place, you know, and just go see people, do something, don't just sit at home. Work, do something. Anyway, I got off on that, didn't I? Verse 5, according to the word that I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. Amen. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Ooh, the Lord's coming. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. And here's another verse that just come to me, one of my favorite. And it says, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And again, I'm looking at this as he's talking about you. He's talking about this new house. You know, we got the Spirit of the Lord in us. And when he comes back, you know, and we're going to have a new body. You know, maybe I'm dreaming or whatever, but I'm looking at this as this latter house is when the Lord comes back and we have a new body. Or even now, we can look at it right now, you know, it says, and I will give peace, saith the Lord. That's why we need, our desire needs to be in the Word. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard over your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. That's part of his glory. I'm looking at it. That peace that we can't even fathom, man. That peace should guide us and lead us on a path. If we're walking this way and we don't have peace, man, we better get on a different path. We better get on the glory path. Amen. Anyway, that's the word for today. I hope everybody was blessed. Lord, we just thank you for your word today, Lord, and I ask that you would bless each one of us that hears this message, Lord, that our desire would just be for more of you. Our desire should just be in awe of you. You know, when we get up in the morning and we're in our quiet time, our desire should just be to be in awe of you, that you would pour down like rain upon us, Lord. Your Spirit would fill us with peace and joy. So we just thank you, Lord, for this time that we could be together. We just praise you and thank you, Lord. And I just had a scripture pop up in my head, so I'm going to read it here. It says, Psalm 133, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So, Father God, we just thank you that we can behold how good and how pleasant you are, Lord, when we dwell together in unity in your word. We all have that desire for you, Lord, because it's like a precious anointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard of Aaron, Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Wow. And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, you know, upon the church. For there the Lord commandeth the blessing and even life forevermore. And can we all say amen and amen? So it was good to be with everybody here today, and hope everybody's blessed and have a wonderful day.
Woo! Pastor, I am on fire. Yes, I am. That was such a good sermon. I mean, wow. I'm telling you, I am on fire. Let's all go back to when he started. He started out talking about speaking in tongues and how the miracles that when they come out of the upper room and all the people in the city that, you know, said, ain't these Galileans? You know, the Galileans were simple people, you know, and now they're coming out speaking in all these languages. So that's why they was in awe, just in paralyzed state. of in awe of when they spoke in tongues. And then he took us through a journey of the word desire, you know, talking about the good desires and the bad desires and, you know, how summoning it all up is this, the flesh versus the spirit. The speaking in tongues helps us to keep our desires curbed, keep them at bay, keep them in the right level. I mean, this is really encouraging me today to speak in tongues more, you know. And I just really thank you, Pastor. I mean, you rounded that up perfectly. I am on fire over here.
You're welcome.
Yes, it was awesome. Okay, now what I want to do for you guys is, first of all, Miss Carla wants me to remind all of you guys to please give an offering today, if you would, please. And please consider being tithers, which is 10%. It's a real biblical thing. Okay, now what I would like for you guys to do is, if you have not ever spoken in tongues, okay, God wants to fill you today. And even if you have been filled before, he wants to refill you, okay? Because he wants all of you guys to walk victorious. And Pastor, that last scripture you read that said, the latter rain, I believe that's right now. I believe that we are going into such gross darkness that we're going to have to be the light. We can't expect all these other churches and people out here that we saw on TV in the days of old, you know. We can't expect them to do it. We already know what they're doing, okay? We got to be the church. That's what he's saying. Get up, be active, go out, give yourself away, go out and help the poor. You know, like me and Dennis, we realized, hey, wait a minute, you know, really, that we've been doing this since we've been here. We have been helping our elderly neighbors, you know, and that is our ministry. They'll call us, we'll help them anytime, won't we, Dennis?
Yes.
And so,
and we enjoy it. It's fun going up and sitting with them and, you know, and talking to them, you know, and, you know, because they're lonely, you know, they sit there all day by themselves and, you know, especially the one couple, their kids never come and see them. And it's, you know, sad.
It really is sad. And they need us, the elderly people. I'm telling you, if y'all have elderly people near you, go to them. Just knock on their door. They will be happy, won't they, Dennis?
Yes.
Just knock on the door and say, hey, I'm your neighbor. I know we ain't never talked before, but I'd really like to get to know you. You know, I'd like, and just tell them about your life. Just, you know, don't go start showing them all the stuff that you know conspiracy-wise. You know, look at the chemtrails. Look at this. Look at this. You know, don't do none of that. Just love. Just personal, you know. Who are you as a person? And I'm telling you who we are as a family. You know, we love the farm.
Ask them questions.
Yes.
You know, ask them questions about their, you know, their lives. Oh, was you in the service, or, you know, did you do, you know, and let them talk, be listeners.
That's excellent, Pastor. Amen. Because they want companionship, and this is a ministry. This is a way for you to love and to give back to people, you know. And so when you're talking about the desires and being filled with the Holy Ghost, when you speak in tongues, I'm going to write that down. That's going to be my first spiritual warfare lesson this week, because I'm going to begin teaching on spiritual warfare in our band. Okay, here we go. So the first one we're going to do is, what is speaking in tongues? And we're going to go into that, because y'all need to speak in tongues. Okay, when you speak in tongues, you come out of your mind. You come out of your natural self. You know, that's why Pastor even talked about it when he read the scripture. You know, it defies the mind. Because your mind is your mind, your will, and your emotions. This is your flesh, right? So when you speak in tongues, you're giving your tongue, that's the most unruly member of your body, you're giving it over to the Spirit. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to use that rudder of your ship to speak the oracles of God, the glories of God. And he speaks what you need. Sometimes you'll feel it when you're speaking in tongues that you're actually interceding for yourself, that you need deliverance or you need healing, or, you know, you just feel it, but you don't really know what he's saying. Then when you pray for other people, you'll feel that you're in deep intercession. Sometimes you'll groan and sometimes you'll moan. You know, that's that intercession for somebody else. Or if you're warfaring against the devil, it's like, bam, bam. You know, you'll feel this warfare speaking in tongues. Or if it's a worship to the Lord, oh, you'll feel this adoration and this beauty coming off your tongue. You feel it. That it's like everything and every fiber of your being is worshiping God. It's a beautiful heavenly language that God gets a gift. Every human has the right to this gift once they're saved. So this is another thing about a spiritual warfare, is that it keeps you from the beast. He cannot interpret that. That is a gift, because remember, we're in another kingdom. We're in the kingdom of heaven. So that's another gift that we have once we step out of the garden of the world and into the garden of heaven. We speak in tongues. We're leaving this earth and we're stepping in that realm, the kingdom of heaven. And we're receiving instructions when we do that. So in other words, it's shaping your body and shaping your mind. So if you don't have that, and any of you people that are listening on the website later, it doesn't matter what country you're in. This has nothing to do with locality. It has nothing to do with nationality. It has nothing to do with education or age. My son got filled at 5 years old and spoke in tongues for 2 days. It has nothing to do with age. The Holy Spirit is the same in a 5-year-old as he is a 90-year-old. So, but it is a right and a gift that God has for every human. It is real. There is a mock one, which is a kundalini, but it's a goofy one. It's a mockery, really. That's why they jerk and do all that crazy stuff. It's demons. It's a mockery, okay? The Holy Spirit is always in order, if that's the best way to say it. So what I'm going to pray for you guys today is that if you're not filled, that you would be filled. And let me tell you, sometimes it happens in the weirdest places. Sometimes you'll just be praying, driving down the road, and he'll feel you right there. I've heard of people taking showers and they're praying, talking to the Lord, and it'll come like that. I've heard of people in the morning prayer closet when they're just talking to the Lord, and then bam, he'll just fill them with the Holy Ghost. I've heard of people waking up in the middle of the night and God will fill them with the Holy Ghost in their bed. So don't ever put God in a box. That's one thing you should know for sure. Never put him in a box, but always expect. Does that make sense? We always expect he's going to do it. We just don't know how and we don't know when, but he's going to do it. This is the kind of God we serve. He never lets us down. So let's all pray. Lord, you are so beautiful this morning. I thank you for our pastor, God. I thank you for how you have changed him in 3 years, Lord. We've been married almost 3 years in a couple of weeks, and I have seen such a transformation in him, Lord, and I'm so honored to be a part of that. I'm so happy, Lord, that you're knitting our church together in a solid way right now, Lord, as we're going underground. And Lord, you're bringing us closer together. As the gross darkness rolls in like a fog, you're pulling your little cheeklets together. And I thank you for that, Lord, because we're strengthening one another. We're encouraging one another, Lord. We're loving one another, Lord. And Lord, we are encouraging each other, Lord, to get out there and get ready to go to war, because we're getting ready to step into the battlefield like we've never seen, Lord. And Lord, we know that we cannot do this without you, Lord. We are so utterly dependent upon you and the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this without your power. It's not by our power or might, but it's yours, all yours. So today we're asking you for that gift. Lord, empower your people. Equip them now, Lord, with speaking in tongues, filling them with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And let them be a sign, a miracle, and a wonder. Y'all lift your hands right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, I want to be filled with your precious Holy Spirit, with your fire from heaven. I want to be all you want me to be. And I need your gift.
Yes,
and I'm asking for it.
And I'm asking for it.
In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. Your word says if we ask, we shall receive. And we are walking in expectancy to be filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire right now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Fill them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for filling them with your glory, Lord, and filling their temples, Lord, with the rivers of living water from heaven, Lord, with the glowing from heaven, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, Lord, I reflect back in my heart about all the years of speaking in tongues. I've spoken in tongues since I was, let's see, 21 years old. And, Lord, I just think about all the miracles I've seen and the protection that I've had because of speaking in tongues. I just thank you, Lord, for filling all your people, every person listening to this, Lord. There is no distance in the spirit. We're all together, Lord, in unison this morning, seeking your face. God, you are the one that's able, and you're the one that designed to actually give humans something like this that the Old Testament didn't have. And even Jesus knew the power of this. Even Jesus told his people, I've got to go. He knew. He had to go back to God, to you, so that he could, that the Holy Spirit could come. And this is where we're at now. We have God in us, in the fullness of his power and his glory, and God wants to use that so he can use our temple in mighty signs, miracles, and wonders. You gave this to us, Lord, so we thank you for it. And Lord, as your church here in the last bit of time, at the end of days and the end of humanity, Lord, we do want to be used the way you intended us to be used with that gift. Come on now. We thank you for courage and boldness. We thank you for strength in our elder years. Thank you for rising us up, Lord, in this hour in the gross darkness, Lord, to be the light. Thank you for filling us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet with that glorious light from heaven. Dispelling the darkness of the pockets of our heart, the darkness, the demons that have ever come in, that they are expelled through this light right now in Jesus' name. That your glory fills every fiber of our being. In Jesus' mighty name, you are so glorious, wonderful, and holy, and pure, and mighty, and glorious, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. What a precious day today, Bride. This, I feel like today, you know, today really is the first day of us being underground. And what a time to be filled with the Holy Ghost. In our first underground service, it's like God is preparing us, you know, to be a sign, miracle, and wonder. And that's what God's going to do with us. We expect nothing less. I expect God to help me get this weight off. And I even told Miss Jill, is her name, my fitness instructor, that God has definitely blessed me with, you know, that's monitoring me and counseling me and being prophetic over me. I even told her, I said, let me just tell you up front, God's going to multiply this. He's a multiplication God. I said, when I was at the U.S. Capitol and I was doing all that walking, God multiplied my efforts. I lost 60 pounds within 3 months, 60 pounds. So if I, you know, just to let you know, if God multiplies it and I lose this weight in a supernatural time period, it's because of the time we're at. We have no more time, people. So God's going to match my obedience with his multiplication. Do you hear what I'm saying? She's like, okay, you know, because I don't want her freaking out, you know, if I lose 20 pounds in 1 week or something. You know what I mean? But it's just, you know, we're all in preparation, getting ready for our next mission. And that's what this next mission for me is my great persecution coming and the dancing in the streets is what I'm sensing. You know, the dancing and lyrical worship of warfare, because dancing is warfare. So in other words, you know, taking me to the streets. So, but I got to get physical ready first. So I just thank you guys for your love and support for this. And I thank you for being there with me and Dennis. I thank you for your financial support, really. And I thank you for your prayerful support and being there for us. And trusting in us as we go underground. This is a big step. I've been on YouTube for a long time, you know. And my neighbor, that 80-year-old lady, she was over here when I found out about Gemini, you know, taking over YouTube and Google. And I cried to her, you know, and I said, I need you to pray for me that I will have enough courage to get off YouTube, because this is a big deal, you know. And she prayed for me and everything. And I was happy to go to her yesterday as me and Dennis went to help her do stuff around her house. I was happy to look at her in the eyes and tell her I did it. You know, God gave me the strength and I feel the better for it, you know. So I'm happy to be here with you guys, and I pray that you'll adapt, you know, to this new underground church, and we're going to build from here. This is the first day of our building, and God has blessed us with the filling of the Holy Ghost, the filling of the fire, and we're all in boot camp. That's the way I feel about it. You know, we're in boot camp. So, all right. Well, I love you guys, and you all have a good day. One more reminder is next Sunday is Fellowship Sunday, okay? And so we want you guys to prepare a 5 to 10 minute introduction of your family. And when you are called upon, you will share, hey, you know, I'm here in Mississippi and, you know, I have 5 kids and 10 grandkids. And, you know, we like to do story time and, you know, kind of just tell about where you're from and who you are as a person. And, you know, and then you may say, you know, look, I need you guys to agree with me because I'm in a marriage that's unequally yoked, you know, and it's really stressing me out. You know, but just, or whatever, you know, I need you to pray with me so I can lose weight. You know, just whatever the struggles are, we're going to, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another. And then we can all come together in unison and begin, you know, praying and interceding. And then when we meet on the prayer call, we're still doing them in the summer on Mondays and Wednesdays at 7:30 a.m. You know, we can pray for one another and watch the victory roll in. I'm going to tell you something. It works. Because here we are. We've been doing that prayer call faithful for a year. Okay? Let's see. Or maybe a year and a half. But I have seen people change, like Carla on here. I have seen her change a lot in the past year. Monica. I've seen Monica's changed a lot. You know, God is really, and my, you know, they've testified about it. God, and even Leslie, y'all know Leslie, she has changed. She, when we first started, we used to pray about her timidity. It was really an issue that was really bothering her. And now she is bold as a lion. I mean, just so beautiful, you know, to see people come out of their shell. You know, and to, it takes us being a church family. Amen. All right. So you guys have a great day and may God really bless you all. Pastor, you got anything else you want to say?
No, I'm good.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye.